This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
I'm going to keep this intro pretty quick. Today on the Illini Inquirer podcast, we talk with ESPN's Adam Rittenberg, who's been covering this Northwestern hazing scandal, the fallout, the firing of Pat Fitzgerald, and what's next. We go into what happened here. Why did Northwestern change its mind, and what is next for Northwestern? With Pat Fitzgerald now fired, we don't even have an interim coach. We haven't really heard from Northwestern leadership here recently. Adam Rittenberg goes into a deep dive of what's next for Illinois' rival, Big Ten opponent, Northwestern football, next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, has done a great job covering this Northwestern fallout. Adam, this has obviously been a whirlwind, stunning few days for Northwestern football and Northwestern athletics. What's this been like to cover?
Yeah, it's been interesting, Jeremy. I was on vacation, you know, when the initial report came out with the two-week suspension for Pat Fitzgerald. I wrote a news story before I played a round of golf out in California, and I kind of thought that was it. That was my mistake. Certainly, you're probably not paying enough attention to the fact that they did corroborate some of the claims in that hazing investigation. And then certainly everything changed on Saturday with the additional report from the Daily Northwestern and other things that were coming out on Saturday into Sunday. And certainly speaking with the former player who really initiated all of this as far as the investigation, you knew this was a situation that wasn't going to go away. And certainly the president coming out with the letter that he was going to reassess discipline on Saturday, it became obviously a huge story. Monday and Tuesday were two of the longer days I've had in my career, but here we are. And again, still a lot of unanswered questions. No one has spoken publicly about this as far as Northwestern officials go. And so there's still a lot to sort out, even though the Pat Fitzgerald era, stunningly, is over after 17 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. Adam, I had some experience, and I guess this is why we go to journalism school, is for stories like this, right? And when the Simon Sijanovic story broke, like there's covering it, you have to approach it a certain way. So how do you approach it when you have, and I thought in your story, like, you presented everything there, and some people might not like that you present everything is there. Like, how do you go about your job when something like this happens, when you got some people saying this, some people saying this, and you just don't have access to everything in that report or what the school knows?
Right. Well, I did think it was important after the details came out in the Daily Northwestern to try to contact the whistleblower. I through some sourcing, I had a pretty good idea about who he was. Reached out, and he very much wanted to talk and continue to get his story out there. There's obviously other sides of it. There is obviously the side that supports Pat Fitzgerald, which remains sizable and vocal to a degree, whether it's current players, former players, people around the program. And so I needed to reach out to them too. And, certainly there was a current player who had pertinent information, who had spoken to this whistleblower and, could kind of shed light on his motivations. But here's the thing, Jeremy, and there have been a lot of people that have raised some red flags, honestly, about the whistleblower and his credibility. But it doesn't matter if the allegations check out, and that's essentially what they did in the investigation. And that was maybe part of it that I admittedly didn't pay enough attention to or give enough credence to. I think we can say now Northwestern certainly did not give enough credence to that, and the possibility that if further details came out about this or other people speaking out about this, it could become a much bigger deal than they initially thought it would be on Friday. So that was the ambition here, was just to be as fair as possible and comprehensive as possible, but obviously give the whistleblower a platform in addition to say what he needed to say, but also push back against some of the things that people weren't corroborating that obviously generated some headlines.
Ultimately, Adam, why was there such a discrepancy in Northwestern going from a 2-week suspension to firing the most impactful person in its football program's modern history?
Yeah, it's a question I've been asked a lot. And again, without talking with President Chill, other than reading his letter, it's hard to formulate the best answer to that. But I think what happened, a couple things happened. Certainly details getting out, media and public backlash was a factor. Whether they want to say so or not, it was absolutely a factor. The president did make contact with the whistleblower's family on Friday, he says. So he learned of the whistleblower's identity seemingly after the investigation concluded, and then began to learn more personal details about what happened. So it became more personal for the university president. Then there was additional things that came out, people either corroborating hazing or alleging racial mistreatment. And these things are fairly common, not to minimize them at all, but like when somebody comes out and says something, usually others follow, even though in some cases these things allegedly hadn't happened for 15 plus years. So that happened. And then there's obviously a lot of conversations at the high levels of the university. She'll spoke to the trustees on Sunday, gathered different opinions, but there were still more stories and there was still more pressure and calls for a firing. And ultimately that's what he, again, according to his own words, acted alone in making the decision to fire Pat Fitzgerald, and informed him around 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon, and that was it. So it's certainly a lot of things to break down there. One thing I would add though is that not every school is the same. Not every school looks at athletics the same way. Not every school looks at media pressure the same way or reputational damage the same way. And this is what I can speak to a little bit more from an alum standpoint.
Yeah.
Northwestern will always care more about its reputation than its football program. Mm-hmm. So when its reputation is hit the way that it was and ethically questioned, and why are you still employing this person, that's going to cut a bit deeper at Northwestern than at, you can fill in the blank programs. That maybe have a little more football history and care more about winning. At Northwestern, they're going to react to pressure maybe differently than they are at other places, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's just how it is there. You saw that with the Mike Polisky athletic director situation a couple of years ago, and you certainly saw it this past weekend regarding Pat Fitzgerald.
I hate asking a two-part question, but they kind of go hand in hand. So what have you learned about Northwestern leadership this week, and what are you most interested to hear from them?
Yeah, interested to hear a lot of things. I'll answer your second question first. Certainly breaking down your last question about what changed over the course of 72 hours. Also, what was communicated to Pat Fitzgerald before the release on Friday of the executive summary of the investigation? Was there any thought that he should have been suspended for multiple games or been more remorseful in his statement? His statement expressed disappointment that these things had happened, but did not essentially taking the accountability. said, you know, I didn't know about any of this. That was the extent of it. There wasn't, this is my program. I'm responsible for everything. I will stop at nothing to make sure this does not occur anymore in our locker room, these types of events. And, you know, why wasn't a more severe penalty on the front end? Because I really believe, Jeremy, if they had come out and said, you know what, this is serious. Yes, it was one person. Yes, you know, this may have been a disgruntled player or someone with credibility issues, but we checked it out with our attorneys and our team and found that some of this happened, and we take this really seriously. You know, even in the, you know, and again, it's hindsight 2020, but you go back to that release and there was a lot of language in there about how serious this was. Yet you gave the head coach a 2-week suspension when he would have been on vacation. Mm-hmm. That's not serious. That's not taking it seriously. So that's something I'd want to ask Michael Schill. Now I've already forgotten your first question.
Well, yeah, no, I want to go off of that point, Adam. I do wonder if they would have come out with this more seriously, right? With, hey, we're suspending Pat Fitzgerald for 4 games, and he comes out, has a, you know, Pat Fitzgerald's good in front of a camera, good in front of a microphone, and says, hey, I need to take this seriously. I don't know if he survives, but Adam, I think they have a chance. Like, so that whole misstep of just trying to, I mean, they tried to sweep it under the rug, right? That just really backfired here.
They did. And you know, and again, in speaking with the whistleblower, and obviously the talking with the current player who had a lunch with the whistleblower and he laid out his entire plan, he was going to go to the Daily no matter what.
Right.
Unless they had fired Fitz on Friday, that would have been satisfactory. Anything less than that, I think it would have played out similarly in terms of the details. But at least you're looking at, okay, well, yeah, these details are bad, but the investigation did not find that Fitz knew about it, and the school decided that a 2-week suspension was satisfactory, given what it found.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit different narrative than, oh my God, he's got to get fired. They only were going to suspend him for 2 weeks. I mean, you know, it's, and also you asked about the administration, I think, in their handling. It's really been poor.
Yeah.
Very little transparency, not a single press conference. We're sitting here on Thursday midday recording this, and we haven't heard from Michael Schill. We haven't heard from Derek Gragg. We haven't heard from anyone who is involved in the decision-making process, and we've only gotten a sliver of the investigative report.
Yeah.
And that information. So, you know, those are things that I think are important here. This is a huge seismic decision. You know, you're firing, as you said, the face of the program, the most decorated player, arguably in team history, certainly since Otto Graham, the winningest coach in team history. And then it's going to be a divorce with that person and all the people that love that person. That's huge. And I don't think that Northwestern has appropriately grasped the seriousness of the situation and how important it is to address it in public.
What's next, Adam, for Pat Fitzgerald?
It's a great question. You know, my sense is Fitz will not be coaching this season. I think he's going to take time off. Obviously, his son is a freshman on the Northwestern team. That at least for now, that complicates, you know, his what he does. I'm sure he wants to support his son. I know he wants to support the team. Because he doesn't feel that they, you know, that essentially they did anything wrong, even though it was shown that there was some wrongdoing there. My sense is he'll, you know, consider going into media, maybe going into coaching eventually. But he's a hard one to project because he turned down so many potential opportunities as Northwestern's head coach, whether it was other college head coaching opportunities, some NFL head coaching interest. So how does he look at that now? He and his wife, Stacy, are both from the Chicago area. They have a great setup, you know, where they live. You know, do they want to uproot that to go, to so he can go coach again? I mean, the guy doesn't need the money. Obviously, we'll see what happens with his current contract and how that plays out legally. But this is not somebody who absolutely needs a job. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, will he coach again? Where will he coach again? In what capacity? That's really interesting. I don't have the answers right now.
Adam, what the biggest picture of this is, I mean, this is hazing. This is some, you know, disturbing things that happened in this program. Don't know how prevalent it is, but like we've heard of hazing. We've heard of, you know, these kind of rituals. But what is the impact of this scandal, do you think, on college football and college sports?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's certainly something, you know, that would have to, if I'm a head coach and I see what happened at Northwestern, I'm going to want to talk to my team and reiterate that this is not okay. Most coaches look at the locker room as a player space, as did Pat Fitzgerald, I was told, was not somebody who was in the locker room very much. That was the player's area. And you know, you have to police that area, the players do, to make sure that this isn't happening and nobody's going through anything that can make them feel uncomfortable or worse. I think that the hard part about this is that you know, hazing has existed in sports for a really long time. Hazing has existed in organizations for a really long time. But how is it interpreted? Is it interpreted as rites of passage or team bonding or fun? It clearly isn't interpreted the same way by everyone. So if I'm a coach, I'm going out of my way to ensure that it's not happening, and that if anybody's experiencing it, I want them to come to me so that I can address it. Ultimately, even if Fitz is truthful in that he didn't know about any of this, he was not good enough at policing it, clearly, that this should have been reported. I have the original email, Jeremy, from the former player to Northwestern's compliance director. That was the way it was reported. It was not reported from anybody within the program. I also know that Northwestern, like many programs, and Illinois is probably one like this too, goes through anti-hazing seminars or talks or whatever multiple times a year. And according to the former player, they would go through one of them and then go right back in the locker room, and people would be making jokes about running or some of these other activities. So clearly it was not being taken seriously by at least some people in the Northwestern program. And you know, as the leader of the program, the leader of the culture, you know, pointing to what Michael Schill, this president, said on Monday, Pat Fitzgerald paid the price for that.
Yeah, he's ultimately responsible. Northwestern already struggling in the Big Ten here, Adam. One conference win in three of the last 4 years. Of course, they won two Big Ten West titles in there. But they face a monumental challenge ahead. What does the path forward look like for Northwestern football?
Right. Yeah, I think the question is how long will it take to kind of get on stable footing? You know, this is a team that, like you said, won one game last year, is not projected to do very well this season. Certainly could have raised the question, independent of all of this, whether Fitz was going to survive for the 2024 season. But I think there's a lot of like doom and gloom projections when something like this happens. You know, Northwestern won't be right for 30 years, or we'll never hear from them again. We both know that if you make the right coaching hire and you have the right support around that coach, you can turn it around in this sport relatively quickly. Now, are you going to turn it around to the level that Northwestern was at from, say, 2008 to 2020, when they were consistently winning, you know, 7-9 games, sometimes more, 5 top 25 finishes, you know, 2 division titles? That's probably asking a lot, but I think you can turn it around to respectability, and certainly play off the fact that it's still a Big Ten job. It's a Big Ten job where, you know, you don't have to win championships to keep your job. It's certainly a strong quality of life. A lot of coaches who have lived or have worked in Northwestern say it was one of their favorite stops just because of the area. So those are things you have to sell. Now, there's major administrative questions. Is Derek Gragg going to remain the athletic director? What does the alumni support look like? How fractured is the fan base and the alumni base? What's going to happen with Ryan Field? You know, is Ryan Field still going to be built? And that $800 million project seen through, so to speak. So that's another question. So anyone who I think there are hard questions that any candidate or their representative should ask if they're pursuing this job. But I also think that a lot of candidates will consider this job because of some of those things I just mentioned.
Yeah, and it's the Big Ten. It's a Big Ten, SEC. So even Vanderbilt can hire people. Stanford can hire people. You know what I mean? Like, there will be candidates for this job. So what kind of candidates do you think they can get, though, Adam? And what kind of candidates does Northwestern need right now?
Yeah, and that's a great – I like that you asked it that way, Jeremy. I mean, I think that Northwestern certainly needs somebody, you know, of impeccable character, integrity, you know, who has never had any incidents in his background, either personally or with conduct of the team. And, you know, that's hard. You know, some of these coaches have coached a long time, and not everyone's always going to be happy with them. And, you know, anyone can make allegations. I mean, we saw that with the Northwestern situation. So I think that's important. I mean, you know, will they look at people with ties to the university, given how long Fitz was there and how long some of these allegations supposedly occurred? You know, you look at someone like Mike Kafka, who's an absolute rising star, the New York Giants offensive coordinator. He's a star quarterback at Northwestern. In 2009, he coached under Pat Fitzgerald as a young guy before he went to the NFL. You know, if you could get him, I think a lot of Northwestern people would be thrilled. But is the optics of it questionable? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, was Mike Kafka involved in this stuff when he was playing? We don't know. Or do you look at – I think if I were Northwestern, I certainly would look at head coaching experience, and I would look at people who have been at similar schools, and I would look at someone who might want to see this as their final stop. And two names to me come to mind in that category. One is Dave Clawson at Wake Forest, and the other is Willie Fritz at Tulane. Both are both are private schools. Both have limited recruiting bases. Both are academically oriented in nature, and both of those coaches have had great success at some tough programs. You know, Dave was at Bowling Green, Willie Fritz was at Georgia Southern, and the various programs in and around Kansas. I mean, you know, they understand tough jobs, and this is going to be a tough job. And both are older. I would go after guys like that. I mean, there's obviously other people you could consider, but I do think the fact you're bringing in somebody who has built programs, has overcome some obstacles, and also has some things in their background that make them maybe a little unique schematically. The thing I like about Dave Clawson as a Northwestern candidate is that Wake Forest runs a different type of offense. It's unique if you watch it, and it gives them an edge when maybe they don't have the talent edge over their opponents. And I think that's something that Northwestern's certainly going to need going forward, because we don't know how they're going to build their roster, at least for a little while. So those are some of the things that I would look at. But I think above all, I mean, you've obviously been damaged, as Michael Schill said in his statement, the university, the program's been damaged. You can't afford further embarrassment. And so I think the vetting of somebody's background, how they've handled locker rooms and conduct incidents, all these coaches have seen something go on. I think that's going to be an important part of the interview process.
Adam, before I ask you one final question, I want to ask you something else about the Big Ten. Big Ten Media Day is right around the corner, and obviously this is going to be a big storyline there. That people are going to focus on, but Tony Petitti is the new Big Ten commissioner. Just what have been your impressions so far of Tony Petitti since he's taken this job?
You know, pretty good. You know, it's been early. I only had the chance to visit with Tony the day he was introduced at the Big Ten headquarters. But I like his demeanor. I think he's a guy that obviously is sharp and has worked in different areas of sports, but. Also seems to be someone who will listen and communicate. You know, that was a problem that occurred in various levels under Kevin Warren's leadership, is that there wasn't a strong enough communication between him and the athletic directors and the coaches and some other constituents around the Big Ten. So I think from talking to some people around the league, they seem happy with Tony. You know, Tony's obviously got a lot of, you know, items to work on, and you're finishing the media deal and looking ahead to, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it's a big time job, but, you know, so far in his tenure, again, with very limited time around him, but talking to people who know him, I think he seemed like a good choice. Somebody who clearly I didn't know a whole lot about. I don't think you did either, but I think because he's worked in the media world, and he's also been in leadership with MLB, I think he was equipped to handle this job pretty well.
Yeah, Josh Whitman is raved about him so far. Adam, I know the Medill School of Journalism. We both went to schools of journalism. It's kind of a reminder of how important student journalism is. And it was I don't know, you know, the media can be criticized and fairly and some unfairly, but that was impressive by those student journalists this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, I was at the Daily Northwestern in school, alum of that newspaper, a very proud alum of that newspaper, and certainly proud of the work that they were able to do, because, you know, this story was essentially over on Friday and it changed on Saturday. You know, clearly the whistleblower's intent was always to go to the Daily, but credit to them for being the source that he wanted to go to, and then they took it from there and put it into a story that obviously changed the spectrum here, and obviously you know, got things moving towards the eventual dismissal of Pat Fitzgerald. As you know, Jeremy, we're not in this to fire people. We're in this to tell the truth and inform the public and inform the fans, and that's what they ultimately did in that story. And certainly deserve the credit that they're getting.
Yeah, no, some these stories aren't always fun to cover, but it's your job. So I thought they did, you know, a job of getting information to the public that the public didn't know, and obviously it changed everything and held truth to power. But Adam, you've done a great job on this story. Thank you for joining us. I know it's been a busy time, man.
Oh, you bet, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff from Adam Rittenberg, ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. He's done a really good job following up on this story. It's a difficult story, man. Like I can tell you when the Simon Sijanovic allegations came up and that whole abuse scandal, just the personal side of it, it's difficult. But this is what our job is. And I think Adam's tried to do as fair of a job as possible of representing all sides of this, following the facts, seeing what you can find out, asking questions of the people in power. And that's the next step of this is Michael Schill and Derek Gregg got to get in front of people publicly and answer questions from reporters. Because, Fitzgerald obviously made huge mistakes. If he didn't know about this, I still have huge questions about that. But if he didn't, Adam makes the point of it. You didn't have the system in place to stop it, or he didn't make sure this wasn't happening. Ultimately, that lies on you. That lies on you. If this is allowed in your program, the fact that no one else would have told you about it, whether it's an assistant or players or all those things, or worse, if you encouraged it or just knew about it and just didn't stop it, that's fireable offense. So all this stuff's been pretty much corroborated. And Pat Fitzgerald is a heck of a coach for Northwestern, a heck of a player for Northwestern. And to see this fall is still just stunning. Still stunning. I talked about that on the last podcast. But now it's Derek Gregg, Michael Schill. What went into these decisions? Why haven't you been out here? Their crisis management for a school is media driven as it is with Medill School, and there's a lot of PR people there. The PR and the crisis management of this has been incredibly, incredibly poor. So I'm interested to see what happens next, what they have to say. Derek Gregg with a baseball, toxic culture thing going on as well from reports. Man, I get questions about him long term. Starting to feel a little Mike Thomas-y to me. Do you have control over your own house? It just doesn't feel like Derek Gregg has that with his programs right now. So what happens next with Northwestern is going to be interesting. If they could get Dave Clawson, oh my goodness, absolutely. If you could do something like that. I thought Adam was going to mention David Shaw. I think he would be the kind of hire that they need. Do they go the young and up-and-comer? I'm not sure. But if Willie Fritz would be, he's an older coach, in his 60s, I believe, but he's a heck of a coach with a heck of a reputation. Seems like nothing has happened, off the field that would make you too concerned. He's a heck of a coach. He's 63 years old, but that might work. That might work. If you could hire him, I think that'd be a great hire and exactly what Northwestern needs. So we'll see. They got three players supposedly showing up to Big Ten Media Days. We'll see who represents them is the coach. I think their defensive coordinator just got into that job. He's David Braun. Is he going to be the guy that's speaking for them as a head coach? That's going to be the number one thing that people like Adam are going to be paying attention to. It's one of the biggest things we'll be paying attention to regionally, and I'm sure every head coach there is going to be asked about their hazing policy. We will ask Josh Whitman about what they're doing to make sure this doesn't happen, because now it's more in the consciousness, right? And I guess that's one thing that can come out of this is people are going to have more of these discussions and make sure it's not going to happen. Because I'm sure Pat Fitzgerald now would look back, and if he knew about it or if he didn't know about it, I'm sure he would look back and say, man, I lost my job because I didn't have these systems in place, or I just didn't say, we're not hazing. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it because Pat Fitzgerald's legacy is obviously altered now and lost a job for it. All right, thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notifications bell as well. And, of course, we have all the latest on Illinois football at IlliniInquirer.com. Sign up for VIP, just $1 for your first month of membership. We're going to have some Big Ten previews coming up here on the Illini Inquirer podcast, setting up a bunch of the Big Ten West opponents. RIP, final year of the Big Ten West, and some of the other Illini opponents, crossover opponents as well. So we'll give you some insight on some of the other teams, just kind of check in with some of the opposing beat writers from across the 24/7 Sports Network. So be on the lookout for that right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Everybody have a great weekend. Take care of each other, and we will talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Let's go! the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.